Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode of Enough About Me is brought to you by Casper, an online retailer of premium mattresses for just a fraction of the price, because everyone deserves a great night's sleep. Get $50 off any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/Kirk and enter promo code Kirk. A lot of these podcasts, almost all of them, I think, do these sort of, you know, question and answer things. I think it's when they run out of guests or they're going on vacation, which is why we're doing this one, to be honest with you. But it's a good one. And at first, I was sort of against the format. I pushed away from it for a while, but it made sense. And the only guy I wanted to do it with was Mike Menansky, my old buddy, the first guy I did radio with. And I knew he'd ask me anything. I could ask him anything. We'd go back and forth. And we did. It's about an hour long. A lot of inside radio stuff. A lot of gossipy bullshit. Because Mutt, who pretends he's one guy in the air, is a gossipy motherfucker, and he proves it during these 60 minutes. Had a lot of fun with Mike Menansky. I was asked a lot of questions. I answered him. He was asked a lot of questions. He answered a lot of them. If you like inside stuff, if you like gossip, you're going to enjoy this one. This is kind of a big deal for you. I know you're a successful podcast host yourself. I'm a fan of the, what's it called?
It's called Across the Board. It's a horse racing podcast on WEEI.com. We talk Derby, Preakness, Belmont, Breeders' Cup. Maybe,
who's that guy who's on
might
every
be adding
time?
A fifth one this year.
Who's that guy who's on
Saratoga?
Every time?
Who? Which one?
You always tweet the same fucking guys every time.
Matt Bernier from
good.
Daily Racing Form is
always
on.
Good.
Dick Girardi, Daily Racing Form.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Vesey, who's from the area, is a Clocks Horses.
You said the words Dick Girardi during the commercial breaks back and forth, but I don't think you're referring to the horse racing expert, were you?
I did during this DNC show, yeah.
So we're taping this, today's what, Tuesday?
Tuesday
after the Mutt filled in for Dino today.
Yep.
I sat there with Jerry and I and took a bludgeoning for a few hours and survived it. Do you enjoy that experience? You like hosting could you host, I'm not saying that you're going to, you know, ever do this, you might not. Could you do a 6 to 10 morning show every day?
Yeah.
So up at what time this morning?
I was up at 4:15.
You think you could do that every day?
Shower, shave, out the door, 4:40. I'd probably move a little bit closer, but yes, I could do it every day.
Why would you move closer? Who's going to say you make more money?
I might have to go to a one-bedroom apartment. My wife and I and my two kids will share one bedroom.
Are you thinking of moving already?
No, not at all. But I was thinking in terms of what the traffic would be like. There's no traffic that time.
You have no traffic either way.
I could save 10 minutes and move a little bit closer.
That's
a big deal. Down Route 3.
That's a big deal. That's true. You could live in like Bedford or
something. Well, you did this thing where you try to, and Jerry has mentioned this, getting up this early.
Every minute.
I set all my clothes out last night and
sure.
What I was going to wear.
Yeah.
I set everything I needed to bring was all ready to go. I showered and shaved this morning.
Well, that's a stupid move.
Well, one time I didn't shave and Jerry gave me shit for it.
Why did you shave last night?
Because I ended up watching a lot of the convention. It was 11 o'clock and I was tired.
You were very nervous. You were very worried after your shitty performance a couple of weeks ago. You were scared. You were scared today. You were texting me last night, called me last night. You were worried. You did your homework.
Yeah, not from you specifically, but I know Jerry takes this very seriously. And admittedly, I don't follow.
Yeah, I don't take this job seriously.
Well, no. Jerry takes the political realm. That's a passion. If you ever looked at his browsing
history,
that's all
he cares about.
If I look at your browsing history during the show, it's TMZ, it's probably Twitter, you're
golf,
looking at whatever's popping up. Yeah.
Little porn.
If I look at Jerry's history, it's Breitbart, it's all these other political websites. That's
right.
All he's doing. This is his passion outside of this 4-hour show. So yes, I was nervous after my abysmal four hours the Friday before with you and Dino. Coming off the shootings in Dallas.
The breaks, though.
As a third man on that show, that sucked.
How would you describe
I was terrible.
How would you describe the atmosphere in the show itself?
Tense.
Most tense you've ever worked with or no?
Well, some of those Bradford shows back in the day were pretty tense.
Yeah,
I would say.
You get along with everybody, so you're always fine.
There's not a lot of talking, and when there was, it seemed forced.
Did you feel like you couldn't do a good show because of it?
No, I didn't do a good show because I didn't really have a lot to add to what you and John were saying about a shooting of police officers in Dallas. Right. I felt like I was, unfortunately, being an echo to a lot of what you were saying. And I was so pissed. It's one of these things that you probably don't do as many bad shows as I do. But, true. You know, I feel like you do a shitty job on the air. That'll bug me. And I don't want to talk. I was glad you didn't call me after the show. I didn't want to talk to
do that, no.
anybody. Because I thought
it
was
a fresh voice. I could have called
awful,
you.
Awful.
Do you miss being on the radio every day?
I'm on the radio every day.
You know what I mean.
I'm on the radio every
but
day.
I mean, like, in a position where people are listening and the matters and everything.
I saw the ratings. People are listening.
But you know what I mean.
I had a very good monthly in June.
Do you miss having being on every day, like, in a, you know, talk show?
Again, I do all these things. I miss being on in drive time.
Yeah, yes,
obviously, because it was it's a more prime.
10 to 2 isn't drive time.
Okay,
fairness.
It's 6 to 6, which is what.
Yeah, right.
If you look at radio, that's considered the prime time for radio. 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. The way it's looked at by archaic sales people, whatever. I am happy to be where I am. I love the people I talk to late at night. My drunks are calling to talk Red Sox baseball. But
so you like being on by yourself at night talking Red Sox and into the in the middle of the night?
Yeah, I don't mind that.
Really?
Yeah.
You'd rather do that than have a talk show.
Not necessarily.
So if they came to you today and said, you got a talk show, you wouldn't say, hey, but I have this other gig.
If it was
like you want another shot.
Yeah, I would like another shot.
Do you feel like you're better now than you were
then?
I made
mistakes that time. I think I am, yeah.
Yeah, I think you are too. I think you're going to get that shot.
I did, and I've gone through this with you before on the air, but deferred way too much and was just, I don't know, God, just a puss during some of those things. And I interviewed Lou. He's great on baseball, but
you hear Lou,
nobody wants to hear me interview Lou about
Lou,
baseball.
And Lou's contention is you guys were fucked from the start.
Yeah, he won't say that. That's fine. I think that there could have been more time put into the show. The first show we did together was our first show, and it is what it is. I think shows that are good potentially have a chance to get a better
start. But I bet you Mike and the
it.
Mad Dogs' first show they ever did was their first show.
They did Weekend, but they were both
but they
prominent.
Did shows together, though.
They were both prominent on the air.
But Lou was on the big show a million times, and you were on the weekends a lot.
He was never a full-time co-host.
No, that's true.
So it was a different situation.
Yeah.
But I made plenty of mistakes during that time.
Who do you want your next? If you could pick anybody, I'll ask you. Before we get, so the reason we're doing this today is we're doing, what's this called?
You don't want to bore people with my history of my mediocre radio career?
Ask Kirk anything, I guess, which is basically like answer the question jerk.
Yeah, ripping off millions
of people. This is a vacation week podcast where I am, as people listening to this, probably, I hope, in Ireland.
See, I'm not convinced this even airs, by the way. I think this is one of those that this will not be on. Something else be said here that doesn't get.
We've only had one of those, so this has not made it to air yet. You can ask me that during the podcast if you'd like.
I'm going to.
But, so Butts could ask. I haven't looked at anything yet. I don't know anything. It's like one of these old game shows. I know nothing. I haven't seen a single question he'll ask him. My guess is they'll mostly suck. Not your fault. Most of the questions suck when we do the answer the question, Kirk, every couple of, every month or two.
There's a theme amongst these questions.
I'm guessing there's a theme. But I'll ask you. We'll start by I'll ask you a question.
Great.
And you'll be honest.
Probably not.
If management went to you and said you could pick a show, you get two co-hosts, any two co-hosts you want, any time of day. Who's it going to be, and what time is it going to be at? Don't be sarcastic either.
No, I would say the first one is easy. I would like a chance to work with you in some opportunity.
Go ahead. Continue.
We had a chance to do an NBA draft show a couple weeks ago.
Right.
I had as much fun doing that show as I've had in a long, long time.
Great show.
Doing radio.
It's like our old weekend shows.
Which were also very good.
Very good.
A lot of people are still talking about
those. I was learning.
Thank God that On Demand did not exist then.
So people
could find those.
Well, I was learning. I was figuring things out. You were a big part of it. I think you could see me figuring out my way.
So I would say you, and I would say Glenn Ordway. Now, I say
that show wouldn't work.
Would that dynamic of the show work? I'm
no.
not sure. But you said the two people here that I'd like to work with, it would be you two.
That show wouldn't work. Who's gonna sit in the one chair?
I think it's probably me at this
point.
Well,
that's not going to work. Well, Glenn's not going to do that.
At this point in his career.
Sorry to shitty answer. Glenn's not going to sit in the two chair.
You asked me which two guys I want to work with.
Think of a perfect show. A show.
I'm not a programmer. I don't. Yeah, these guys down the hall.
You were program director in New Hampshire.
Was never a programmer.
I thought you were, no? Weren't you a PD there?
No.
You weren't?
No.
Who was a PD when you were there?
I had a couple different guys. A guy by the name of Mike Wynn, who's now working for BC.
Excellent, yeah. Mike does a good job. But you know you can't
Such
put two
dick.
Ones in there.
But you always talk about how radio is different now.
No, and you're a natural one. You're a table setter.
I think today was a natural one.
Right. And so's Glenn. Glenn's not a reactor. So you need somebody else.
So obviously you would be one. And after that, I don't.
Well, you're high in the station right now, huh? Oh, you like Holly a lot.
I guess that I'm just picking through the roster. A lot of good guys on the roster, but I would say if I had a chance, if I'm sitting in the one chair and putting two guys in front of me, be you and Holly.
Okay. And I say no thank you to that show.
Why not?
That show wouldn't work either.
I could work.
Nah, Holly's not playful
like
that.
Three guys under 50 on radio? Wow, imagine that happening.
Holly's not playful like that, though. He's not.
Been in the situations where he is.
Holly and I don't have a great on-air dynamic for some reason.
We haven't done a lot of shows together.
We've done enough where I think we both know it wouldn't work. I think. That's not my fault.
I would make it work, is what I'm saying.
We'll see about that.
This episode of Enough About Me is brought to you by Casper, an online retailer of premium mattresses for just a fraction of the cost. They're revolutionizing the industry by cutting the cost of dealing with resellers and showrooms and passing the savings directly to the customer. They offer free delivery, painless returns on a 100-day period. 100 days? You have to lie down in the showroom. You know what it is? You want to try the new bed. If you like it, you have 3 months to find out if you like it or not, and you're going to like it. I got my new Casper mattress and tried it out. So soft, so comfortable, life-changing. Sleeping is the most important part of the day. It's the healthiest part of the day. It's the part you need most. Use Casper mattress. You get free shipping and returns to U.S. and Canada. They're made in the USA again. Free delivery and painless returns within a 100-day period. You guys know I don't sit here and hawk products all the time. I'm not going to hawk this one unless I believe in it. And I believe in Casper mattresses. Free shipping and returns to U.S. and Canada. And again, made in the USA. And you can get that Casper mattress for $500. That's for a twin, or $950 for a king size. Compare this to industry averages. That's an outstanding price point. And you can save another $50 toward a purchase by going to casper.com/Kirk, K-I-R-K. Enter promo code Kirk. That's casper.com/Kirk. Enter the promo code Kirk. Terms and conditions apply.
How many questions do we really, anything good?
And they're okay, but I mean, there's a theme amongst a lot of
them. Let's skip the theme for now, if you got anything else, because I'm sure we'll get to the theme.
Here we go. This is a good one. See, this, I'm telling you, I don't, a lot, I'm having to skip through a lot that have a similar theme.
Go ahead.
The entire Boston sports media is drowning. You can save all but five of them. Who do you let drown?
Who I let drown?
So I guess the question would really be, who are the five you're saving? If they're in the entire Boston media landscape, you can save five people. And I guess that would be TV, radio, print. See, by not looking at these questions, we have now turned this into a podcast where you've got to think about the answers for
right.
a little bit.
Always good. Always
and
good
some guy in his run right now is thinking, Jesus, why? Where's Lenny Dykstra?
Bruce Freeman rail trail in Westford right now?
Is that Chelmsford.
It goes through Westford.
I haven't gotten that far.
Have you ever done it?
I'm not. My wife's the runner. I'm not a runner.
Yeah, you can tell. and you got to shave your head, too.
We'll get there. Yeah, but I'm not there.
Why? You're there. You've arrived.
I'm not there.
You have arrived.
There are procedures now where you can get your hair.
You should.
I've been thinking about it.
You should. Who I would
work for Jerry. You can save five people in the Boston media.
I can't think of three people. Jerry, I guess. You? Bradford? I like Eric Fried.
You would save Tangway. You have a love affair with Gary Tangway.
I guess I would say I don't want Tangway to die. I guess.
You want Gary when John walks away and whatever that date is keeps tweeting out. You want Gary in that seat. You said
know.
That. You it's took me off the list and you got Gary back.
I go back and forth. It's a complicated one. You know, I know you want that job. You've told me that.
I'm really banging down the door for that job.
Well, you would want that if John goes and that job's open, you wouldn't want it?
Anyone who says they would not want a right. 6 to 10 job and morning drive in Boston is lying.
That's what I'm saying. So you want
the
job.
Reality. Yes.
I'd say other than you and Tango, I don't think anybody has announced themselves as a real candidate yet, have you?
I think there's been some other guys who would be wild cards.
Like who?
Well, you don't think outside the box like I do.
As a former PD of ESPN New Hampshire, I'd like to get some thoughts on that.
There are some weekend guys you can mix in.
Like who?
Christian Arcand, Danny Picard.
I don't think those guys are ready for that job.
Jared Carabas from Barstool?
Probably not ready to sit in that seat with me and Jerry Callahan. I'm saying I'm not seeing a lot of names. So I think it's going to be one of you two guys.
That seems – I think there's a clear favorite there. Clear favorite.
I mean, you've both failed midday hosts.
We're in that group of failed.
Spectacularly
what
failed.
What an awesome group that is. No, I was going to say Newmy's part of that, but he's not.
Because
he left on his own. Prensky didn't get enough of a chance. No. I blame Glenn.
So I don't know who's going to get it. Tangway, if there could be a hybrid of you and Tangway, it would be perfect.
What are the things that I This is a sent in from Mutt Weei. What are the things that I don't do that Gary does that you want to transition in?
I don't think you're quite as willing to be
an idiot.
The fearlessness isn't quite there with you. There's always a little bit of a little bit of step back with you on the air. Like, you're not willing to go that far, wouldn't you say?
In some instances, yeah.
Yeah. Where I don't think I am.
You think Gary is? That's where Gary's going?
I think that's one of Gary's strengths, too, is he's not afraid to look like an absolute shithead, you know?
He's proven that.
He's proven that time and time again.
But
the problem with Tanguay is, what you do well is you show up, you prepare, you work hard.
I guess you mock me for that.
No, I don't mock you.
You do.
Do you think you work harder than I do?
No.
That's what I'm saying. So I'm not mocking you for it. It's something I do, too.
But, for example, the show we did, this has bothered me for about a week. The show we did on Friday, you made this comment like, oh, you showed up in your polo shirt, ready to go. What would you like me to do?
So things I'm saying to you now on the air are bothering you?
It was the tonality. I said it to you on the air. I said the tonality. What do you mean I showed up in a polo shirt ready to go? Well, what would you like me to do?
It's a classic Mike Menansky move that he learned from his dad, Dan Menansky, a great man.
Right? The Viking, yeah.
I got his name right.
You did for Viking the first Dan. Time, yeah. You've seen him at two birthday parties already. You know, you guys are close.
You show up. You did your shave.
I did, yeah.
You put your polo shirt on. You put your appropriate shorts on. You know, you get the nice socks. The hair looks good. You show up and you're going to do a radio show. Sometimes it's okay to just say, fuck it. As you did gloriously one night on the radio, which was, I think, the best night of radio I've heard in 10 years. You sort of let loose. I want to hear more of that guy.
That was good. The night I had those post-game calls and the Red Sox. Those were good.
It's unbelievable. Calls. You're ripping that bullpen. I just think that sometimes I think you think you have to play this persona of a radio guy.
Well, that's what I am a lot of the time. In that one chair, and Gary's different. Gary's able
but you
to.
But you know it's different today than it is tomorrow night.
Versus what I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I don't think you would
do what I do after the game is different than what I do in the game.
My point is, I think you struggle with that with Lou, and I wonder if you're going to struggle with that the next time. That you're asking me for criticisms.
Yeah. I
don't know that you really want. I think you deserve that chance. I hope you get it. And I hope we work together because I think we do great together. But I just don't know. The one thing about Tanguay is, he's polarizing. He'll get people talking. My question is, how long does that light burn for? How long does that light burn for as a polarizing figure? And how long does his light burn for, on the air? Because he's literally, we joke about
it. The light in his brain.
Yes, we joke about it. But there are shows, you've worked with them. There are shows where a couple of hours in, he's fucking done.
Well, he's not, and he's not the only one. There are people that are good at this that, and you talk to Curran about it.
Curran's one of them.
Tom Curran is great. And
But Curran's not bucking for that job.
Yeah, that's true.
We're talking about every day, and it's not, 6 to 10 is hard. 6 to 10 is harder than 10 to 2 and 2 to 6. It just is. You have to get up early.
I agree.
Your life is just fucked by it. We get paid a lot of money and nobody cares. It's not like, I'm not going to make fun of McDonald's workers like you did today on the air. But it's a hard job for this world. And can Tanguay get up every day at 4:30 and bring it every single day? My guess would be no.
Post-Dino world when Dino's down in Miramar Lakes, yes, I think Gary could. I do.
Why are you advocating for Tanguay?
I'm giving you my opinion. I think that Gary
Who
sets
do you think would be
up.
Better for the job, you or Tanguay?
With that fearlessness right now, Gary is the Gary.
So you're endorsing Gary, plays, Gary for that job?
I've already endorsed
so
him
you don't
for
want the job.
It's different than wanting the job. Anyone would want that job.
You think he
job.
Would do a better job than you?
No, I don't think that.
You just said that.
But if you're looking for that fearlessness, if that's the number one quality versus the
what
showing up every day and preparing.
I'll interview you for the job right now. What are your strengths? What can you bring to the Minahan and Callahan and whoever show?
The ability to prepare for the show and be ready to go every single day. That's sort of the key to what you guys
hired.
Need.
Boy, wow.
That's what you guys need on that show.
We also need because the show a personality.
The show is Jerry and Kirk. Okay, that is the show.
Right so now it is.
That's to me. No matter who else is in there. Okay, that
you feel
is
that way right now with Dino.
You guys are the back and forth of that show, yelling it back and forth. That's what people are tuning into. And right. It's not to say anything about Dino, but that's. You guys yelling at each other is a big part of the show right
sure
now.
Sure it is, yeah.
So the two biggest egos on the show, you and Jerry, the managing you two, I can certainly do that. I proved that this morning, going back and forth with Jerry. And that's part of it. That's
I
a
got
big
the
part
sense, not so much today, but in the past, that you've been intimidated by Jerry. A little bit.
Yeah, I think I've admitted that.
Yeah.
That Jerry can be.
You moved on from that or no?
I'm past it now.
Even today, you see, Jerry had during the break, As you know now, the breaks are just, it's the same when we work together. The breaks are just us bitching about somebody else at the station.
Yeah, we're just talking about people.
Every
yeah.
time. Cherry had a pretty serious one at about the 7 o'clock hour.
Somewhere in there.
You seemed a little stunned by it.
I wasn't. No, I was surprised you said to me.
I was surprised.
You said how he gets. I've seen Jerry like that before.
Because I'm not like that.
No, not at all.
No. We've never had a fight, have we?
You didn't get angry at all. We got in a fight outside. Something on the midday show.
So when you were drunk and you told me how much you love me?
Out in the hallway. I was probably buzzed. But out in the hallway, we got no fight because it was probably us bitching about you guys taking guests again. And Curtis was talking shit about you to me.
Right, what a fucking...
And so you walked around the corner and heard him
right.
ripping you guys, and so I got caught in the shrapnel. I don't know if you were mad at me specifically.
I feel like we yelled at each other once in there, too, when I was filling in, or you were for something, no?
We've yelled on the air. We get
no,
arguments
all
the time.
No, not on the air. I'm not on the air. I mean, like, we had a fight, no? I thought we did.
We got yelled at by management. You were in for Lou. We were talking about something. And our program director came in and said, stop
Wolfie?
Talking about that now.
Oh, yes. Jack Edwards, remember?
That's exactly what it was.
That's right. But that was a weird – Wolfie was feeling heat at that point. That's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
I forgot about the Curtis thing, too. What a Curtis worm move that was.
He walked around the corner. You walked around the corner, and Curtis was bad-mouthing your show. And you said, why can't you say it to our face? And you went
that's a legitimate
throwing
criticism.
Stuff in the hallway. Typical Minahan meltdown.
That's a legitimate criticism, though. Your producer is on your side.
You would hope so.
He shouldn't be shitting on the other show. I mean, who else does that? This turned into, by the way, you're answering questions.
Wait,
Your job is that you think you'll control us?
Yeah,
I've hijacked this thing.
I would be able to. Well, it's your podcast.
True.
I am a guest on your podcast.
No, you're not. You're the host of this podcast right now. This is your segment.
When you're on vacation, I feel like I'm going to be the host of your podcast.
You're gonna be like, fuck.
How about this one? What other career would you have chosen if not for radio?
No, I don't know. It's fucking
okay,
stupid.
Okay, so this is two questions
in.
That's
a stupid question. You know that's a stupid question.
Okay, let me get to another one here. Oh, there's not too many of these. What was the event that led to you and Dino hating each other?
Take long. What was the event that led to what?
What was the event that led you and Dino to hating each other? What was the event that led to the Dino and you hating each other?
Okay, and that's the only one you got on that, right?
No, that's the only. So I said, I figure I'll try a different tactic here since you want different
What's
questions.
What's the percentage of questions that were that?
75%.
Yeah. Honestly, I'm being honest here, and you and I talk a lot, so I think you know the story, right? I mean, we're not pretending, you know what's going on. We talk about
it. I know some of it, yeah.
And I think you would you probably agree that, well, from what I've told you anyway, it's not one of those things where it's like a moment, you know?
You've never said to me this was the
right,
crystallizing
not,
point.
It's just been a lot of shit back and forth. And trust me when I say I am no saint. I am no innocent in all this. It's just an accumulation of little shit that is built and suddenly you just don't like each other anymore. Now, I would argue that you can do a radio show with somebody you really dislike. The numbers have been fantastic.
Well, you're proving that right now.
Yeah, numbers are fantastic. We don't like each other. It's really, really, really brutally uncomfortable.
But you talk
breaks.
About it more than he as a, not as a listener, not somebody who talks to you. Okay, but as a listener, I hear you more frequently.
But
bring
which
up
radio
the,
personality is more likely to talk about it more often? John's going to bring stuff up off there, or me?
No, well, I think you guys probably both. I'm
me,
sure
I would say right.
Well, off. Okay, I think we're talking about off the air. I'm sure you guys both talk about it.
No, I know that's true.
On the air, you have been.
But that's sort of part of my job.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's. I think clearly people are interested in it, right?
But exactly. But I think people are, because you're more vocal with it, they're asking, specifically. They feel like you're.
Here's what I would say. There's a lot of little things. If it's me, if I'm a host and I co-host a show with somebody and I have somebody I respect professionally or whatever, and I have an issue with him, I would fight those fights myself. I would not text a 24-year-old girl and give her a battle plan on how to fight me. And I sure wouldn't bring up somebody's mom when there's, could be stuff going on within that. That's the way, that's the way I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't suggest somebody's sexuality. Just not the way I would do it. Does that make sense?
Sure.
I mean, I would do it face to face on the air and have an actual confrontation instead of being a coward about it.
You guys have had some confrontations on the air.
Yeah, I felt that was the act of a coward. And it didn't surprise me either, by the way. I thought it was kind of par for the course.
So it's been an accumulation.
Is that a good answer? Is that an effective answer?
I think you've answered that question pretty directly. Not tied in at all, but if you had the power to fire one host at the
that's
station.
That's it? You have no thoughts on that? This is what I mean. I can see you. You're nervous right now.
There's not. It's your podcast.
Yeah, but I can see you're thinking I should get away from this. Your natural instinct is to get away from it.
I thought I was leading into other questions that might lead us back to this.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
The whole point of this was.
You're a pro. I apologize.
You asking questions. If the people, I have five pages of questions here. People don't hear their questions. Look at 2, 3.
All right. Go ahead. I apologize. I apologize.
Maybe you don't. It's another one you don't want to answer. If you had the power to fire one host of the station, who would it be?
Well, that's somebody's job. I'm not a big fan of that. I will say, I mean, I advocate for Salk's firing. Here's why. Number one, he sucked on the air. And you're here now. We may have talked about this on the air. You could confirm this is a true story. You called me at the first commercial break Salk was on the air. And we said, he sucks. He's going to fail. True or false?
Well, it just sounded too ESPN. We both said he sounds like he's on ESPN Boston, ESPN Des Moines, ESPN San Antonio.
And teasing just, things at 320, yeah. The 208.
Kept saying, we're going to get to the... I'm guilty of it too, but he was like teasing three or four or five different things. And you could just tell someone had told him to go about this way. He had his game plan and it was not going to jive with what the rest of the station sounded
like. But he's a bad guy. That was my biggest issue with him, was like, you know, I think all these guys on the other shows here at the station are not bad guys, like Fourier, Lou, Glenn, Dale, and Thornton, and Holly, and the guys you, and the rest of the guys at night, the guys on the weekends. I don't think there are any assholes. Like Salk, you know, you would hear stories about Salk, maybe they're true, maybe they're not, I don't know. And you would think, oh my God, really? This fucking guy is doing that?
There were stories like the first week of things that he was saying to people in and around the building.
Right, you just
so that's
heard
not,
stuff. And,
not a great
and it
sign.
Accumulated to a point where I said, well, you know, he sucks on the air and everyone's telling me what a jerk he is. Why are we keeping this fucking guy around? He's killing us. It's different. Like, I have no desire to see anybody on the other shows. You know, I have no desire to see them lose their jobs. That's no. The answer to that's no.
I will say
Adam Jones on the other station is fucking dog shit. He is awful radio host. Holy shit.
I'm on the air at night, so I don't get a chance to
I don't listen to you. I listen to him. Much better than you.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Do you ever regret getting angry on the air? Does it affect your personal life in a negative way?
Good question, Mutt, and thank you to...
That is Tully Farms Road.
Very good Cardiff fall. Giant. Very good fall on Twitter.
So we weren't going to read people's Twitter
handle. Who cares? Do I ever regret getting mad on the air? Yeah, sometimes I do. Does it affect my personal life? Not so much. The people, no. I think everybody now understands that we don't talk about it. That part of it's not that big a deal. I regret. Is there any part like when I went crazy or something? Not really. You know. I think I've apologized enough for the stuff I've gotten in trouble for.
I'll add this question. So specifically, you spent a lot of time when you first got the full-time gig with these guys. You're very angry at your brother or brothers in general.
One of my brothers, yeah.
And I was with you guys, and I noticed nothing. And
we've gotten to
and
a better
I,
point.
And I wondered, you know, had that still point. Carried over.
No,
I was with all three
point.
Of you guys, and you're all busting balls and having fun.
Yeah, things have gotten much better. Things happen in your life. You know, you get older. Kids are born. Stuff happens in your family where you have to mature. That part of it's much better, yeah. But I don't regret, you know, at the time, I think I ripped him. He deserved it. That whole wedding thing, that was not good. But I made mistakes, too. I'm close to perfect. I'm not perfect.
Has any of the stuff on the air affected your work relationship with the people here in this building?
Oh, what do you think? Of course, it's brutal.
Yeah.
It's fucking brutal. I'll tell you the one that bothers me the most. I've talked about it before. Is I almost feel bad about it. Is that Rob called me about a year ago and said, I got guys I've told the story on the air. I probably shouldn't tell it again, but he said, I got driving my son to school, whatever, and a lot of the guys are saying, hey, I thought your friends were Minahan. He's shitting on you today. And that upset him. You know, I feel bad about that, but then I'm mad at him because I'm like, well, don't fucking tell me that. Because now you're affecting my job. Next time I want to make fun of you, I'm thinking about it. That's the worst part is when you start thinking about it, you know?
Well, the worst part for you has to be that people do...
It's very hard.
You've had a very hard, very hard life. You're not compensated the way you should be.
But a brutal life from the start.
And Jerry did this with a show. It was last Friday when you came back in for the one day. And you were pissed off. You're in a bad mood for whatever reason. And Jerry's trying to explain to you that I have to explain to people you're not a bad guy. And that's... There's got to be part of you.
Well, do you do that a lot?
Yes.
A lot.
I would say the majority of EEI conversations I have with family and friends are about you.
But I've been around your family. They know.
Yeah. Let's say then they all like you. I'm not sure why they like you because you've claimed you had sex with my wife.
That's not a claim.
And then one of my sons is actually your son,
that's
not my
fact.
Son. You've said that on the air on a 50,000-watt radio station.
Does that upset you?
No, that's fine. You want
to? Do you know for a fact that's not true?
I have not had the DNA testing yet because I can't afford it. But when I can,
it's going to be quite.
When
moment.
I can afford it, we're going to try that out. So, yeah, yes, that's the biggest question I get. So there's got to be part of you.
I don't care about that. That part I don't care. But why would you? Why would you? Why don't you just say what the fucking? What do you care? So I said to Jerry Friday, why do you – don't waste your time telling people I'm a good guy.
Because
don't waste a breath. It's
because
okay.
I know you're a good guy.
Yeah, but so what? So you know. Then I'm good. I don't care if one of your friends thinks I'm an asshole. I'm telling you. You can say he's an asshole and save your time trying to give it –
That's what I do. I'm going to do a
Tangway
what I do
now.
Say.
People ask you about Tangway, and I'll be like, no, he's, you know, he's a good guy.
Who's the most overpaid WEEI host and most underpaid WEEI host?
I'm the most underpaid. I would say that for first. That's a fucking fact. I don't know the sound. That's one thing I don't want to know.
That is a Minahan lie, folks. I know that is an absolute.
You think I know dollar and cent what everybody makes at the station?
Yes.
I have no idea.
Everybody know. I don't think you know what Christian Arcan makes in the weekend. I think you know what everybody 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. is making.
I have no idea what those guys make, the midday guys. Not a fucking clue. I have no idea what Dale or Holly or Thornton makes. I don't. I have no idea. I have an idea what the other two guys in the morning make, but I could be wrong. I found the number I wanted. When I got that number, I honestly said, you could spend the rest of your life chasing another number.
Did you
number.
Go agent or agent free last time around?
It was a quiet negotiation.
Okay. Which media member is not as squeaky clean as he or she may appear?
Ooh.
These are the people's questions.
That's a good question.
I'm just Joe House, you're Bill Simmons. I'm just asking questions.
Who appears to be squeaky clean? Give me some names.
I think most that are working full-time in the media. So now you're asking me to say that.
I'm just saying who's squeaky clean so I could say if that image is correct or not. So I'm trying to think who's squeaky clean. I don't think of anybody as particularly squeaky clean.
Ordway comes across as squeaky clean.
I think he is, right? Yeah. I mean, I don't know anything else about him like that. I don't, you know.
Jerry Thornton, very likable guy in the afternoons.
He seems squeaky clean. I mean, the guy used to rate, you know, sex school which I would scandals on Barstool.
Every time I would read.
Me too. That's a clickbait. Awesome. It should be on EEI.com.
I think they tried to. I don't know what happened with that.
That didn't go well. Dale is, I guess, squeaky clean?
I would say so.
I think so. Who else? Dan Roach?
Roach is absolutely squeaky
clean. Like, who
is
squeaky clean who has some real, like, demons in their closet?
Yeah.
I don't know. But if I did, I'd tell you. The real perverts are, you know, I think fairly well
the
known.
The ones who are real perverts.
Yeah.
Here's another one. What are your career goals? What do fans expect from Minahan in the future?
What is
you're building the brand here.
This is it. I'm peaking right now. This podcast is my peak.
I would say that's...
I mean, what else am I going to do? I eventually think, if I don't get fired, we'll have my own show at some point, I would think, right?
Well, it's funny. The question here is, when are you going to get your own show and have your name in the show?
Well, I don't care about the name. I don't care about. But my own show, I feel like I have my own show now. If you listen to the show now, I feel like I'm not... you know, an equal partner in the show?
No, I think you're absolutely.
It was a hard situation for a while. I just definitely had no idea the first few months how to figure it out. You know, it was not great. It kind of sucked, and then we figured it out.
Yeah, because there was a time where they tried to put you, it seemed like, into the Meta Perel box. Like, oh, he's going to be the guy, or the Kevin Winter box. He's going to come in, and how quickly did you know? It couldn't have been the first day.
Fuck no. I talked to you every day. The first 2 or 3 months... it was bad. I didn't think I was going to make it. I thought I sucked. I couldn't figure it out. And honestly, like once I realized, a big moment was when I realized that I could fucking say whatever I wanted to Jerry, and he didn't care. He wanted me to be a maniac. And not only did he want me to do it, like he was pushing me to do it. That was a big. That was
see,
a
and,
big,
I would argue that one of the big things for you was at Foxwoods, Dino's bachelor party. Dino didn't host that day for whatever reason. He did like an hour and then left. So you guys had me come down. And that was the infamous back of the seat story.
That's true.
Where you and Callahan, we just could not stop cracking up on the air. That was very natural.
Hopefully Ben pulls that. We could play it now.
What is the creepiest place you've ever flanked the Dolphin?
Oh, that's a good one.
The creepiest place I've ever flanked the Dolphin? When I was in junior high school, we were driving back from Cape Cod.
Hold on.
I was
the statute of limitations?
Yeah. It was traffic. I was in the back of the big Suburban. My dad was driving, and who knows what happened. Who knows
You're
what
kidding.
Happened. As memory serves, yes.
What
yeah.
year was this?
That was...
Was your mother in the front, too?
No.
She
was,
That'd be
she
weird.
She was right next to me.
Like a station wagon?
Suburban.
Like those station wagons. I could see that, though. Hold on.
It was a station wagon, and you're spun backwards. Remember those old station wagons where you'd be pointing out back?
Right. Smut, you're ruining
then you
it.
See, then you see the reflection of yourself, of course.
We have
No, it's a Suburban, an old Suburban. Yeah, yeah. You know, they're driving back from the Cape on the Sunday, Doug, in the summer.
Like you've never done it? Are you serious?
617-779-7937. You can text
nice
the show on the AT&T text line 37937. On Twitter, use the hashtag AskKirk for questions.
Why did they not accept the qualifying offer?
Coming up next, Pierre McGuire. We'll ask him where he's plugged in the prickly
pines. It was natural. I did a great job, as you heard in the clip there, of keeping the thing on tracks. Because I'm friends with you, and you said, why don't you come down? I think we were all invited, right?
We did the whole station did shows that day?
Yeah, we did shows there as part of our deal with
Foxwoods. Oh, that wasn't for Dino's Bachelor Party. That was for – no. That was for – it was all the shows were there for some
– Oh, we did bowling the night. Okay, yes. It was a station type of thing.
Because I was going to say, Dino got married. I was already there for like a year and a half.
You had me come down at 8 o'clock, and I still did my show at 10, but you said, can you come down for a couple
segments? That was the end of 2013. You're right. That was a big one, and Callum Borchers was a big one. John actually wasn't there that day either, and I wrote about it that Jerry and I went at him on the air. That was sort of a freeing moment. That was about August, which was about 6 or 7 months in. At that point, after that, I felt like I was kind of home.
Are you going to write columns again for WEEI.com? Where did your writing go?
Is that at Tim Murphy? Is that who sent that? At Rob Bradfoe?
At Bradfoe is who it's from.
I don't know. I got a lot going on right now. I think when stuff settles down sort of off the air, I probably will. But honestly, I was telling you during one of the breaks, this is not hard work. But Bed Kitchen, the producer, has done an awesome job. I've been dead without him on this podcast. But booking guests and getting here and staying late. Sometimes I have to tape them in the afternoon. You're running around. Then you have kids. You have other stuff going on. And the show, it's a lot right now. If I could do it again, I'd probably do the podcast every 2 weeks and do a call another week.
When you come back, will you write about the media?
Yes.
This one from at Mutt WE.
That's all I want to write about is the media. Yeah. I have no interest in writing about anything else.
That is your pet passion.
There are other people who – nobody else – you know, the Herald is a tabloid newspaper in 2016. They don't have a media critic. That's fucking crazy. That's crazy.
They don't have who was the guy? Think of it, the older guy used to do it.
Jim Craig.
Years ago.
Jim Baker. Jim Baker. Yeah, bring him back.
Jim Baker wrote some very nice things about our high school football show in New Hampshire back.
Did he really?
Thank you, Jim.
That was a good show.
Very kind words. You can make up your own sports station. Who do you take from both stations and who would you pair them up with?
That's tough. I guess my morning show would probably be who's the guy who's on with Mike Flynn all the time?
Ryan Johnston.
You and Ryan Johnston, I think, would be a good show.
He's from my area. He's up in Drake.
Oh, he's another bore, huh?
I listen to those guys. We're flipping around the weekend. Listen,
you know,
to both
he's
stations.
Boring?
He's okay.
Who are the guys you like on both stations?
I would say Rich Keefe, top of my list. He's part
you
of
like
the,
him a lot.
He's
huh?
part of the coaching tree. I'm a big fan of Rich Keefe.
Do you consider me as part of your coaching tree?
Yes.
You do?
Yeah. Anything to make my coaching tree look halfway decent.
But you've been surpassed, though.
That's okay. So Bill Parcells got surpassed by Belichick.
Yeah, but you didn't win two
He's
Super
part of
Bowls,
the coaching
though.
Tree. What's that?
You consider you think you're like similar to Parcells?
I would say the
who was the Mutt coaching?
September Mutt? Book in 11 was a big Super Bowl win for Mutt Maloney.
Who's the Mutt coaching tree?
You?
Okay.
Rich Keefe.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Gauthier, who I hired in New Hampshire, is now a play-by-play voice for, I think, the New Hampshire Fisher Cats.
Tom Gauthier?
John Perilin is down at ESPN.
Who?
John Perilin, who's down at ESPN.
John Perilin, yeah.
It's a big coaching
Rob
tree.
Bradford?
I'm probably forgetting. No, he's not part of the coaching tree. I wish I could claim Rob, but Rob was doing this for a long time.
What is your Bradford take right now? You guys have worked, other than...
Oh, now it's back to my questions.
Other than...
a couple more here.
Other than... Lou, I'd say the guy you've done the most radio with is probably Rob, right?
It's probably Lou, Rob, and Minahan in that order.
Right.
Probably the three.
I mean, you and Rob have done hundreds of hours
Mikey
together.
Probably fourth.
Oh, right, Mikey too. Hundreds of hours you've done with with Rob.
Hundreds and hundreds.
What is your take on Bradford? It's been 7 or 8 years now.
I like Rob a lot.
It seems like you guys have a very, because he'll call me, you'll call me. It seems like you guys have a very up and down relationship, though.
Well, Rob will sometimes put, I don't.
Just say it. Just fucking say it.
I think he cares more about doing his Nesson hits sometimes.
Oh, I thought you could go somewhere else. Okay.
Oh, I can't. I this way. Then doing his his broadcast work for us. And so sometimes that will be a little bit, we have to work around Rob's schedule.
Have his cake and eat it too.
He wants, and that would, which by the way, it works out fine. We've not had one issue with it. It's all worked out technically, but you get a last minute, you know, I got to do this. It's just a little bit.
I thought it was going to be more of your, you know, he has to get EEI.com people on.
No, he's done that since day one, because the ill-fated, forget Mutton Bradford. The first show we did was a WEEI.com theme show where we had guys like DJ Bean and Chris Price. Oof. We supplanted Craig and Larry.
Remember that fucking
letter writing campaign got him back on the air.
Seven letters from
and they
Joey
bumped
from
Rob and I like Sundays.
I used to listen to that. You would have this fucking guy on, this fantasy football writer.
Awful.
From California.
The worst.
Calling something to get his feet up. Looking out at the ocean.
With a Pepsi in his hand. Who
was
saying, guys, I have three must-plays this week.
Tony Gonzalez.
Peyton Manning, Tony Gonzalez, and Danny Tomlinson. You got to play those three guys. It was like 2008, 2009.
That is gone from history. Wiped out.
I have worked so hard to try to find
those
segments
online. You'll
never win that battle. Well.
I bet, you know what I bet you'd find? Because I liked you right away, like on the air. I bet you'd find that I was pretty conversational in those spots. Kind of funny. We have a couple of decent lines.
Well, you were sarcastic. You got the sarcasm. You grew up on Boston Sports Radio like I did. You got the sarcasm of the big show. So when I would make fun of you for it, you would laugh and you would take it and admit, of course I'm mailing it.
I would call in, and sometimes it would be you, Rob, and Felger.
That was a weird dynamic because they brought Felger on as the ultimate fill-in guy.
Right.
They never told us that sometimes he'd be showing up on our show.
So he would show up?
He would show up like 10 minutes before a show and just say, we wouldn't know until he showed up. With my guy JD from Donahue's, who would feed us every Saturday or Sunday morning. And he would just show up and do the show with us.
Did you like working with Felger?
He was fine. There were days where you didn't know if he was going to be there or not, so just walk in. And as you know, that's a little bit weird if
somebody shows up all of a sudden, sucks.
But he was fine. He was did a couple Comcast spots back in the day.
So it was about, maybe it was 8 years ago now, Mike? 8 or 9 years ago? Right over there is when I filled in for Rob. The first radio I ever did in my life live was with you in the RKO booth.
Boy, you really had a hard grind to get to Boston, huh? Zero radio. How many people
so
hate you? Some
when
guy.
I'll do that. So
Connecticut School of Broadcasting hates you.
No,
right
not
now.
That. I'll go to the Super Bowl or whatever, and I'll be talking to some guy, and he'll be like, I went to Des Moines, then Albany, back to Des Moines, Amarillo, and now finally I'm here in Tacoma. It's finally worked out. And I'm just like, I fucking showed up here one day.
I can't imagine why Gresh wouldn't talk to you. That's amazing.
That's not my fault, though.
It's not, but there is this weird thing in radio where if you didn't pay your dues. So you showed up, filled in for Rob, right, RKO studios.
Typical Rob, still playing the stupid media game. Like, blew off a show to play in the media
game. Oh, well, he's still playing in it today.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. 9 years
went
later.
Went to New York this weekend just to play in the media game.
Not to write. Not
no,
like, write
he came home Sunday.
Right.
Do the show with me.
His life is those two media games a year.
You got the pitch. Pitch well.
He did. So I show up there. Did you even know I was in that day?
I probably knew. He said, Kirk's going to come in. I said, fine.
I got the sense that you were a little cold about it, though. And I don't blame you. At the time, I was like, I don't want to piss this guy off. But now I totally understand.
I was a weekend just weekends here.
But I had no experience. I don't blame you.
This sounds, again, like you trying to recreate history a bit, which is fine.
I'm saying I don't blame you.
Snowstorm solo shows. Had to really cut my teeth.
What does that mean? I did weekends, filling stuff for 3-4 years.
I know you did, but I don't remember any of the when you came in and you had the empty phone call. I don't remember many of those.
Oh my God! How many times?
A lot of Dale. A lot of
how many times I text you from the shows with take a picture with fucking no calls and one
couple times
doing a 1-4 show when you are so fucked.
Well, BC football was coming up.
BC football is coming up. But I went in there and I knew nothing. Joey Zarbano, who is now your boss. Came in, which is a whole another fucking chapter. I went into the.
Oh, that's crazy.
Joey called me into the producer. He's like, "You got to speak up. I can't hear you." And I was like, "You just can't talk like this."
I remember when Joey said to me, "You've got to get him to that." I do recall that because I remember
but
where
I
we were
know.
Sitting, and you were it. But you so midway through the show, you call out Jim Rice, and that was it. You came to Boston your first show, and you were saying how much better Derek Jeter was than Jim Rice.
What's up? I was
and how bad
McKenzie
Jim Rice
show
was.
That was, huh? Jesus,
you were big time sport. You give me ERAs and
ERA plus, but that was big. If I hadn't started with you that first year or so, because then you got the show with Lou, I would have been fucked. If I was somebody I didn't like or I couldn't have fun with, I would have been fucked.
Well, we got along because immediately I remember we talked about Mad Men all the time.
Right,
that was it.
We made fun about people at the station. We were two guys who weren't on every day who thought they were better than the guys who were on every day. That's what everybody.
That's
thinks.
What we do. Arcand thinks he should have my shift. Picard should be on a full time show.
Don't you think
those
guys now, those younger guys now, are like Minahan sucks and 4A sucks and Dale sucks.
Kirk talks way too much politics. I'd be in there to do sports.
Why does he talk about inside stuff? And why does he talk? Why does he make fun of this? That's the circle of it.
The same way we did.
The same way we did.
Same way we still.
Same way we do now.
Kirk, when will I see you on Comcast again? Really miss your
spots.
Is
that really a question or no?
I have the paper, so maybe.
Can I see it?
Maybe.
They're all fucking Dino questions, aren't they? Every single one?
I told you, 75%. And then the other ones, I know that. Okay, I'll give you an example of one. Go
is
for it.
Really shitty?
F, Mary, Kill. Beetle, Zoe, Mutt.
I mean, what is this?
That's what I mean.
I'm going to say I'm going to fuck Zolak.
Who wouldn't?
I'd marry Beetle and kill you.
Sounds about right.
Bertrand seems the kind of guy you could settle down with and make a life of things.
Nice family. He's a family guy.
He's a family
he's
guy.
Like three kids. He's got all sorts of kids.
He just had twins, I think. Comcast, I have no idea. No idea. Maybe never. I'm okay with that. Honestly, Mutt, a year ago, the way it ended, I was mad. I was like, I was mad about never being on there again, having Hubick win. But I'm okay with it now. I don't really, if I go back, I'm actually willing to go back. It would be fine. If they say, you know what, like, you destroyed our station for a week. Like, we can't have you back. It's hard for me to say, you know, I don't understand that.
That seems unlikely. My guess is Gary's pushing for you.
No, I think that's true.
Why does Kirk become so defensive when he's challenged by Jerry? He is such a bitch.
Who's that from?
Michael D73.
Well, thank you, Michael, first of all. I don't know if that's true. I do get defensive. I get surprisingly defensive about random things. Like, I'm not defensive about personal stuff, but I'll get in a fight with Callahan, and I will get angry. That is true.
I think you get angry with most when people say things that you think are legitimate dumb. And one of your favorite words is dummy.
Right.
That's when you get most angry, when someone says something you find offensively dumb. And I hear that happen all the time with you on the air. Tap, I've said things you thought were dumb, and you'll do this thing where immediately you repeat what the person just said.
That is true.
It is a great move by you.
Well, I walked you into one today with the jobs.
That was an asshole move.
But that's part of the job.
Which is why, and I'm sure you guys will play the audio back of you saying, what's a harder job or an easier job? And I know whatever I say.
You can't win.
And by the way, the answer was radio sales guy or radio program
director.
Why didn't
you say that?
What I should have said.
You're the one. I would have said you win.
Nobody is better at boarding up the house after a hurricane than me.
That's true.
I am
if you had said that, I would have said, because you know how I feel about
you
it.
You would have laughed your ass off.
I said, you win.
And correct. What led to great.
How do you feel? You used to be a radio sales guy.
Yes, at a very, very small level.
Is that a job you could ever do again?
If it's something you like, anything you.
What would you have done? What would you have done if they had said, instead of me pushing for you to get the job, the Red Sox job, behind the scenes and saving your family?
Thanks. Yep, thanks. Nothing to do with my abilities.
No, it didn't, as a matter of fact. If they had said to you, you know, here's the door when the Mutt and Lou show ended.
Yep.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yep.
What would you have done? Would you have retired from radio?
I don't think so, no. I think at that point I would have tried to...
Would you have gone back to ESPN New Hampshire?
Go to a smaller market. If they would have me back, yes.
Right, that's right.
I'd probably go back there in a similar role. If the door was open, I probably would have gone back there or to another smaller station.
Could you have done that from an ego perspective?
What? Yes.
I'm serious. I mean...
You have a family at home.
Wow. I've been to ESPN New Hampshire. I know what it's like.
How do you feed your family? You're asking me, am I going to sit on the sidelines and wait for something big to come along?
But
I'm
you
gonna
could
work?
Do a different job, though.
What's my skill? I have a communications degree. You know how worthless those things so are right now? I met somebody in Maine this weekend, some college girl, family friend. I'm getting a communications degree. Don't do that. Do anything but a communications degree. Do anything else. Do business. Do marketing. What is a communication? It means nothing. Do not do that. If you're listening and you're a college student, get out of communication.
But you love this job, though. You love this more. I think you might even love this more than I love it.
Nobody loves it more than you love it. You love the battling on the air. You love the bitching off the air.
Nah.
And you love the big, fat paycheck you get every 2 weeks.
It's not that big. You'd be surprised.
Those three things you love. You
I'm
love,
not much for gossip, though.
You love winning. Yeah.
You got to admit that. You have to give me that.
You are the big, and that's what it's.
So are you. I mean, you want to talk about if somebody said whose persona is most different off the air than on the air? You, I would say Mike Menansky. Still a nice guy, but the biggest fucking.
You think I gossip on the
air?
But
the biggest fucking gossip I know, though. Bigger gossip than
no,
I am.
There's nothing you like more
than sending me a text about something that happened. You're hearing this. Fucking love that.
You and I both know.
I love that.
I could be a gossip for the next 30 years. I could be this hard for the next 30 years.
This what?
This hard of a gossip, whatever that means.
This hard for the next 30 years?
I cannot be a possibly bigger gossip than Glenn Ordway.
Oh, that's different.
That's different. Tell a friend, tell Glenn. Tell Glenn something. Glenn will do this thing.
Where he gives you back your gossip?
I've
talked about this before. Of course, you talk to him. You call him or whatever he'll call
him. I'm hearing they're trying to get an FM translate.
I'm hearing there's a chance they're going to go country. That was his big thing, remember? I'm hearing that Kirk and Dino don't like each other. Yeah, it's me, Glenn. I'm talking to you right now on the phone.
And I love Glenn. Glenn
That's the greatest.
He invented this medium. So they're going to be say one bad thing about
it. No, he didn't, but that's, you know.
In the format that it should be done?
He moved it forward. He's the most. When they shoved his fat ass out the door, I was with you. We did shows. Lou was down in Florida.
All the spring training shows, yeah.
Those terrible spring training shows where Lou would, you know, bump in with an interview with, you know, whoever the hell the fourth catcher was.
And again, if I had any balls at that time, I would have said, this is stupid. Let him go. Him coming in for 10 minutes every hour doesn't make any sense.
You can't do it. Doesn't matter who you are. You can't come in the middle of that show.
Could have been Lombardi talking football for 10 minutes an hour. The people that's not going to keep
Mike Lombardi? But
also good.
But Glenn came in, and I said at the time, he's the most important figure in the history of sports radio in the city. He's not even close. You know, some may have more success as it goes forward. Some may not. But
the format as it was developed was Glenn and the Big Show. What Glenn did as a program director to rebuild whatever EEI was at that point.
And they essentially took the Big Show and program directors around the country got rich off it.
They called it the Big Show in places like Charlotte. They call it the Big Show.
Right. But to get back to my point, you are an underrated fucking worm in gossip. And that's why.
Ordway and Callahan are much worse.
No, Callahan's not. No. You're worse gossip than Callahan. The biggest gossip is the decision. I would put Glenn first. You second.
Lou's a gossip.
Lou.
Bradford.
I'm probably like
Doug Lane, who nobody knows.
I'm probably 15th, I would say.
Yeah, you are number one.
I don't like these young guys, though. They could be calling each other and gossiping, which I like.
I don't know if they talk. There's probably some.
Are there any like guys like us? Like when we, you know, guys who get along, who aren't on every day? Like, what's the dynamic with those guys?
I don't know. Because Picard does only shows by himself, as far as I can tell.
Yeah, he seems strange.
Arcan's work with all sorts of people. Arcan, nice I think, hasn't said he has. I don't think he likes me. Which is fine.
Oh, really?
I don't think so.
Why not?
I think the post-Mikey breakup, he and Villani in particular, they're not fans. Which is fine. It is what it is. People choose sides. That's fine. But I don't know if they're... You know, Villani's covering the convention for the Herald full-time.
Yeah.
Picard's in New Hampshire. I mean, Arcan's in New Hampshire. What was the podcast that hasn't aired yet?
So we taped one. We taped
said I could ask anything.
Yeah, but this isn't really particularly controversial. We taped one with Peter Gammons where the sound was... It's actually more on this end. The sound was just shit.
Hope
sorry.
Something better.
Yeah. Sorry, what'd you think? Oh, like controversial, you mean?
This yeah, I didn't. I actually didn't know. I was going to get actual gossip out of you that I didn't know. This is fair. From the entire WEEI family, which coworker or coworker's spouse would you most want to have relations with?
I haven't met all of them. I haven't met many of them at all. John and Jerry's wife, I've met. Obviously, your wife, I've met.
Met those two. I met your wife.
Right. I mean, I have fornicated with your wife. That's
allegedly.
That's
we'll check the DNA. Test.
That's not a big deal. She doesn't seem to mind. She's
good.
You're okay.
You guys wasn't awkward at all at Harry's birthday party.
No, I mean, in your bed was a little. That was inappropriate. But you know, you've since moved from that place, so that's fine.
Yeah, we're out of that condo.
Are you done with two kids or no?
Completely done.
Are you sure?
Done, yes.
You're a young guy, 34, 35?
We are weeks away from me having a vasectomy and cutting the cord.
Is that true?
Yes.
Have you announced that anywhere else?
No.
This is exclusive?
This is it. I have the pamphlet at home.
Are you that worried about it?
We're going to wait till the new financial year starts for the insurance.
August?
I start till after July 31.
How much is that going to cost?
I have not. Actually, we haven't looked at that part yet.
Really?
I just assume insurance covers a big chunk of it, right?
Are you that worried? You have that kind of semen power?
I don't. I'm done with two kids, man. I don't want to worry
about it. I'm not. Harry ruined it for me. I'll never have another kid ever. Ever.
I don't know how people have more than two kids.
How about at once? I should have three kids at once?
No.
Like three, you know, two-year-olds, three-year-olds?
I'd leave. Vacation with kids is not, with young kids, is not vacation.
No, it's not. It's hell.
I don't know what it's called, but it's not vacation. Just, I'm done with two kids. I will... Next time on the podcast, never.
Louis C.K. has a funny line. He says, the only part of that vacation is when you actually start and you close the door to the kid's side and you walk around to your... those 8 seconds is your vacation.
You know what I did? I brought that book. I'm reading the Andrew Jackson book, American Lion. I brought the book on vacation.
Was it 4 pages?
I read zero. My son
why are you reading that
my
book?
Son pretending...
So a guy who reads a Craig Carton book. Why are you reading that book?
It was a good book, Craig Carton's career.
Well, you have a 5-month-old. That's the difference.
It's a 3.5-year-old and a 5-month-old.
Right. Yeah. So Harry and Kate go to bed, and when they go to bed, I can do some reading. What I do is I run, and my run is my escape. Like I'm gonna say, oh, I'm gonna go run, and I pretend that my run time is an hour and 15 minutes. It's like 40 minutes. So I run for 40 minutes, which is still a good run.
Your Congdon Donuts for the other.
No, I go to. Do you know downtown Kennebunkport or Kennebunk at all?
We
you
try know to Provisions, get it in the past.
HB Provisions.
Yeah.
So I get my two newspapers there. I get my hot chocolate from the
coffee
store. You walk
in, it's the big building right there. Yeah, I love that spot.
So it's an hour 15, right?
That's what
I'm telling
there,
everybody.
Yeah.
I'll be back an hour 15. I get up at 6. I go early. But it's 40-minute run and 35 minutes of just reading the paper, having a hot chocolate. Those 35 minutes are bliss.
Planning your next list of people and enemies you want to kill and destroy.
But that's what you got to do is you got to carve time. You know.
Yeah.
Like, anything with Kate. I'll just grab Kate. You know, I got her. No problem. Because she's a great kid. You know her. I mean, my daughter's unbelievable.
She's awesome. But she's also older.
She's 9.
She seems so normal.
She's mature. She's
so, like, I look at my 3.5-year-old. He's not a human being.
Harry,
I don't know what he is.
The same age as, you know, he's 4 and he's fucking crazy. Yeah, I love him. I love spending time with him. But there's a limit. You're like, just fucking shut up.
We have time for one more?
We have a couple more. Go ahead.
Who's going to be the next program director here at WEEI?
Who's that from?
That is from
at Joe Zarbato.
It's from Ben Kitchen.
You see, Graham changes the Twitter handle.
I didn't see.
Let me see if I can.
I may have already muted Kevin on Twitter.
Ooh, that's a good call. How many people have you muted on Twitter?
Dozens.
How many ones that are like real friends?
Nobody who's real friends.
No.
Plenty of media people. I just don't want to unfollow.
Let me see.
Boy, that's bad. That's stupid.
What?
That I care that? Why would I care if they? You know what? Oh, bug. I see.
Kevin Graham RC. What is that?
No clue. RC? Like RC Pro-Am?
Yeah, I don't know. What was your verdict
RC
on
colon?
Graham is it's been now it's done?
I'm thankful Kevin was here. I mean, Kevin was one of the guys that
you should
had an open ear when you said, you know, save Mutt from going out.
It wasn't just me. He liked you, and he definitely had your back.
He stayed out of the way. I don't know how to say it. He stayed out of the way.
One thing I'll say about Graham for me is when temperatures were hottest, and it happened a lot, he always had my back. Like, it was not – he might have disagreed. We had some real fights. But he had your back, and he kind of kept us out of trouble. I'm worried about that going forward, honestly.
Why? What do you say? Okay, they bring somebody in who's more,
yeah,
more
or just
team management, team sales.
Yeah, it's just going to – something big happens, they're not going to be able to – you know, I don't think Graham ever had a situation as big as the Aaron Andrews thing, I'm guessing, in Salt Lake City.
That coach did running to a pass play.
You know what I mean? Like, in the stations, most of them, sure, was, you know, national programming, and all of a sudden this thing happens. I thought he handled it about as well as he could have. I think he's going to be – you know, he had his weaknesses for sure, but, you know, overall, I think he's going to be missed, surprisingly. I mean, the first couple of months he was here, I was like, this fucking guy's going to be a disaster.
Because he was he was broken out of the ESPN mold. And whether it was you guys or somebody else got to him.
But he always at his core, believes that's, like, the way to do it.
What also helped is that your show started kicking ass in the ratings.
Right.
Once you got there, you saved the morning show.
Go ahead.
And the ratings got better. And what was he going to say? Oh, I can't. We had previous regimes, and I was part of these meetings. And you hear this because you were here and Jeff Brown was here, where he tried to change the show completely. It did not work that way. And lo and behold, when he went back to what three guys are passionate about, you, John, and Jerry are very good when you get on a subject that's passionate. The ratings are good when they talk about something they care about? Funny how that works.
Speaking of that, like, are you worried about the pain of a vasectomy or no?
No,
why is it? Do they tip it? I don't even know how they do it.
It's a laser surgery. There's a couple guys here at the station that have had it. What?
I'm worried. I wouldn't do it.
No, it's a little. You're in and out. They said it's an outpatient procedure. They say an MRI takes longer than actual vasectomy.
Nobody does an MRI in your penis, though.
Listen, I have two kids. I'm barely using it as it is. So,
are you at the point where you're now having sex with your wife again?
Am I what?
Are you at the point that Bennett's old enough for you? Is that begun again or no?
Yeah, it's been very infrequent.
What does that mean?
Has
it happened since the baby was born?
Yes, it has happened.
How was it?
It was good for me. It was good for me.
Could she get pregnant again
now? We had a nice anniversary trip to Mohegan's son, and it was a good night.
Could she get pregnant again now?
I don't think she's still breastfeeding, so I don't think she can get pregnant right now.
Okay, then.
Yeah.
That's got to terrify you.
I'm telling you, I'm
I would leave. I've already told my wife, if we had a third kid, I would send a check every month, but I would be gone.
You would
never see
leave.
Me again.
Christine is a saint. I would go live in the mountains somewhere.
I live in a little shack.
Yep.
I would not live a rich life at all. They can have all the money, but I'm not having three kids in my life. I don't know how people have 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I'd rather give one away than have another one.
What's the age Harry gets to where you start to, maybe life is a little bit more normal?
Well,
is it
five,
you think? Is it six?
I mean, yeah, but I don't know because it's a boy. This is all new to me. All new. I mean, I grew up, I had two brothers. You had brothers.
I have two boys, yeah. That's
but, you know, and you, what do you mean? Oh, it was you and your brother.
Yeah.
So that's all we know. But I don't remember being wild because it was me. But, you know, I don't know.
I can't imagine you as a kid. Actually, I can. It's Harry. running around with his head cut off.
It's essentially this is exactly what it is.
I mean, Waltham just running on bikes in his birthday
party. All right, give me one more. I'll get you out of here. I got to tape another one if you can believe it. You got one or no?
After all this, I hit a lot of the good ones. I'm sorry. There's something. Well, somebody asked about these. I don't know what this relates to. Maybe you do.
Okay.
Tell us about the spring training fiasco. I don't know what he's.
You got to be talking about John last year, right?
I guess.
That's pretty well known. I mean, that was John's low point. I think he would agree from a drinking perspective. And, you know, one thing I'll say about John is we've had a lot of trouble, off the air and on, but if he, in fact, has not had a drink since, that's something to be, that's hard to do. And it's much harder, his road to is much harder if he's indeed doing it than mine. I was younger.
Did you have a wake-up call for you? Like a
bottom? I just kind of stopped drinking. Like, I just didn't like the way I felt. I just didn't like... I mean, I was not a... You know, we don't need to get too... We're running a little late here. But I was not a guy... I mean, John was drunk for 40 years. Yeah. I was a kid.
Were you mad Jerry and I drank in front of you at the World Series?
Yes, I was furious. When?
World Series. Went out to dinner together. Jerry and I
do all the time.
I always wonder if you can have beers.
Why don't you ask
you?
Then?
Because I figured if Jerry is doing it, then must be okay. Last one. Top five give me a guest or two you wanted to have on the podcast and haven't been able to get down.
Aaron Andrews is definitely, honestly, for sure, has been one. We've been trying
Bart
to get
Hubbuck has to be.
Bart Hubbuck is we've been trying to get.
Out.
I would say Aaron Andrews and Bart Hubbuck are one and two. I'd love to get Aaron Andrews on and have a real conversation, have a dialogue about what happened. I'd like to tell her my side of the story. Evidently, I don't blame her. Has no interest in it. It's only going to help me. I'd like to have some of the guys from the other station on, too.
They wouldn't.
Oh, no, and they wouldn't.
They would do. I think some of those guys would do
it
across
do
the street.
It, but they're not allowed to.
The
do
management.
It.
No, well, I don't think management.
Management
here would
like be fine with it. Management there. I talked to Mike Thomas about it, and his point was, how does it benefit me to have those guys on your podcast? It's a fair question.
You don't think it would raise some red flags with some of the people in our building?
Nobody has said no. Nobody. Okay. I mean, nobody said no about any potential guest here yet. We book them. We do them. Even Shepard, we did it. They checked, and it was okay. Your future co-host, ESPN New Hampshire.
Does he need a co-host? I'm available.
Could happen.
We can go talk NASCAR. We can break it down.
Well, I think this went about as well as to be expected, Mutt.
I don't think this is ever going to air, so I'll say thanks for having me in for 40 minutes. No, I think that this will be listened to. There'll be some things that were said. It was fun to do it. You and I can talk about it off the air. This is going to get spiked.
Why? What happened?
My feeling. I have that gut feeling.
By the way, speaking of your gut, you look sickly. You weigh less than I do right now.
I'm in great shape right now.
You're a little too thin right
now.
You
want to put a little weight on?
What are you eating?
I'm eating everything. Nothing I don't eat.
But
I hate this thing where you can't eat. I don't eat as much of it. I exercise.
I think you've lost like 30 pounds in the last couple of years, though.
No shot.
Well,
I'm down 15
pounds. First, remember you were getting puffy, puffy stage?
I
called you out on it.
Look at that. Look at the other photo of me in front of you. This is great for rating.
Oh, my God.
Look how bad.
Disgusting.
Look at that on steroids. And I just ate like seven cheeseburgers.
Terrorist. When is that from?
That's from my first start. So 2006?
What the fuck?
2005.
Like an asshole. But you were younger then. You don't drink as much, I'm sure, right?
No, you have two kids. How do you have time to drink?
You still go to the gym across the street and wear your weight gloves?
My guy's
your lifting gloves?
No more weight gloves. I'm over there. Jerry's pushing yoga on me, but I have no interest.
Me too. I can't do it.
I want to go to the gym, work out, and go home.
All right. I appreciate it.
Good seeing you.
See you. All right. Thanks, as always, for listening to the Enough About Me podcast. If you want more podcasts like this with guests like Artie Lang, who else is going to have Artie Lang and fucking Bob Ryan on the same podcast? Or David Portnoy and John Tomasi? If you want to listen to podcasts like this, you go to iTunes, Stitcher, you go to WEI.com, you go to the mobile app. When you go to iTunes, leave a rating, leave a review, and subscribe. That's going to help us out a lot. If you want more of these, leave a rating, leave a review, and subscribe. Make sure you do that for me. That is a command. Now do it.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.